I'd ask you to take your Bibles over to Romans chapter 1 as we study together about the idea of honor. This is a lesson that I needed. I think about 1 Peter 3 telling husbands to honor their wives, and I was realizing some ways that I wasn't doing that and got into a serious study on this topic. And as I started thinking about honor, I realized that the most standout lesson for me was in 10th grade. I had an assignment that I did not agree with the teacher's evaluation of, and I gave him very choice words about that. He put me in my place. I sat down, I waited until class was over, and I began to again express to him how upset and frustrated I was with his grading decision. And he put me in my place again. I left the school angry. When mom and dad got home, I explained my case and how this great injustice had been done against a 15-year-old. And dad said, never talk to your teacher that way again. I don't care if you're right. I don't care if you're wrong. He deserves more respect, more honor than you had shown him. And I'm thankful for my dad teaching me that lesson. And we look into the pages of Scripture and we see kind of a similar idea come up. My teacher had every right to ask the question, well, where's the honor? You're the student, I'm the teacher. There's an inherited relationship here where you're supposed to be showing me honor. And that's the question that God is asking in Romans chapter 1. He looks out at His creatures, His creation, and He says, they knew God. It wasn't like they had denied the existence of a spiritual being. They knew God, but they did not honor Him as God. And unless we would think from Romans chapter 1 that this is just a Gentile problem, that this is just a bunch of pagan idol worshipers, think about Malachi chapter 1 verse 6. A son honors his father, a servant his master. If I'm a father, where is my honor? Where is my honor? If I'm a master, where is my respect, says the Lord of hosts to you, O priest who despise my name? But you say, how have we despised your name? God is right to ask this question. Because so many times our dishonor shows up in small ways. And the reason I would bring a lesson like this to a church that I already had good feelings and good thoughts about is because all of us can improve here. All of us can improve in the honor that we express towards God and towards the other people that the Scriptures command us to show honor towards. Well, where is the honor? I think the truth is a lot of time it's lacking. It's lacking in servant-master relationships. It's lacking in the workplace, right? That people will get away with as much as they can get away with in disrespect towards their employer. It's lacking in the family relationship. People showing honor to their father or even honor to children when that time is appropriate. It's lacking in a lot of places in our society, and it's not something we're going to just automatically pick up by observing what everybody else is doing because we live in a world full of dishonor. We need to be able to really study this. So let me walk through a couple things with you. First, when I use the word honor, what I'm talking about is to put it in a cherished position. If we walked into a museum, we would see not just paintings, but we'd probably see paintings like in beautiful gold leaf frames because we framed them that way to honor that great work of art. Or we would see artifacts that have been set up on tall pedestals, not just so that they would be at eye level for display, but because we're saying this is a priceless piece of art or a priceless artifact. When we talk about honor, we're talking about showing the value, the worth, and the weight that we give to a person. So guys, has this ever come up for you? Like you're with a whole bunch of friends and your wife is there with you and you're all trying to decide where to eat and your wife says, well, I'm really in the mood for this. But all your buddies want to go get buffalo wings or something. You're like, well, honey, can we just do what they want to do this time? Who are you giving weight to in that situation? I'll tell you. You've given weight, greater honor, to your buddies. Maybe that's okay sometimes. But you know, after a while, that's going to catch up with you and your wife. She's like, does my opinion count? Does what makes me happy, isn't that kind of the way this marriage thing is supposed to work? That you're supposed to sacrifice for me and I'm supposed to sacrifice for you? We need to think about where we put great value, worth, or weight. This is the same thing when we seek advice from someone. We say, hey, what would you do in this situation? What would you do in this situation? And we get all this different input. There are some people whose advice we give greater weight to. It tips the scales and we make the decision that they have recommended, right? We need to think about where we are placing that, because in the scriptures, we're told to give honor above us, beside us, and even below us. I think above us is obvious, right? That we would express honor to God, as we've already read from Romans chapter 1. And maybe it's also obvious that beside us, with our spouse or with our family members, that there is honor due, that there's honor due to other members of the church, right? That we would seek to meet their genuine needs. But below us, we hate to even admit that or to describe anyone in some position of being below. And I'm not talking about someone being of less value, but there are circumstances. There are circumstances where people are below us in their ability to resolve the problem on their own. We think all through the Old Testament in the special circumstances of widows and orphans and the way God set up special regulations that those widows and orphans would be cared for because their circumstance was such that they needed someone to lift them up. And we've all been there. We've all had a day where someone needed to lift us up, whether it was through a difficult circumstance like financially or in our career, or in our relationships, or just in our spiritual walk with God, we've been below another mature Christian that we needed to lift us up. And rather than them treating us with dishonor or disrespect in that situation, we needed their help in a crisis to lift us back up. Honor is given in every direction. And what we don't want to do is get in the habit of dishonor, where we just treat this as common and ordinary, where we're disrespectful and even shameful towards those that we should be showing honor to. What if we think about just our Bibles, just the Word of God? And I understand that paper and fake leather is not itself a special thing. But what is going on when we get that brand new Bible and we take really good care of it and we're highlighting our favorite verses and then, like a year later, it's being thrown over our shoulder into the back seat of the car? Is that really the honor that we want to show to the Word of God? The church I preached for in Lexington, Kentucky, we had these big window seals out near the parking lot, and the kids would run and play in the grass after services like kids do, but so many times we'd come back and find a Bible sitting on the window seal. And if it rained between Sunday and Wednesday, then the pages are all warped. How much honor are we giving to the Word of God, not just in the care of our Bible, but in opening that Bible, reading and studying it? Are we treating this as the weighty opinion? Not just opinion, but obviously the Word of God. Are we treating this with great value? Is it on a pedestal in our heart? Or do we just set it to the side and treat it as another ordinary source of information? I want to give you four principles tonight. They're going to really help us put honor back into our lives and back into our relationships. And the first is this. When you think about honor, the level of honor that you are going to give will be determined by the value that you perceive. So when my children do a little crayon artwork piece and they come and say, "Daddy, Daddy, look what I drew," and I put it on the refrigerator with a magnet, I have given that more value than maybe an art critic would give it. But it's important to me, because it came from their heart and from their hands, right? The honor that I'm going to show is going to be based on the value that I perceive. And there's three things we do when we perceive value. First, we protect it, right? If I see God's word as valuable, then I don't want false teaching. I don't want somebody twisting the words of Scripture. These are God's words, and they are to be preserved. They are to be protected. We've been entrusted with them, Paul told Timothy. And I handle those with great care. When you perceive value, you'll protect it. So husbands, what about us with our wives? Let's take our Bibles over to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7 and look at this verse. It's so very important for us. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. Are we showing honor where God has asked us to? Husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way as with someone weaker, since she is a woman, and show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, that your prayers will not be hindered. Are you protecting her heart? Does she know that you cherish her? Are you protecting her relationship with you? Do you speak harshly to her? Do you speak lovingly to her? Are you really protecting her with your honor? If you value her, you will. But when you stop valuing her, when we stop valuing anything, we show it less honor. It's like walking down the street and seeing a penny and not even taking the time to bend over and pick it up, right? Because that penny is just worth a one little cent. Why would I even take the time? You don't protect it, you basically ignore it. We don't want to go there. We want to actually move in the opposite direction. Because when you honor something, you praise it. Again, use our example of being in a museum and this great artifact is there, and someone would walk through and say, this is from such and such dynasty, from such and such location, and this is what makes this particular artifact special. And it's one of a kind, and we are so lucky to have it in our collection here at the museum. And then everybody says, can I take a picture? Well, we praise it. We speak well of these things. What about us? Am I perceiving the value of the assembly of the saints? Right? Do I speak well of that assembly? Oh, we have to go to church again. I remember tying my shoes, even as a little kid, saying, do we have to go to church? And mom and dad saying, no, but you get to go to church. Praise it. Remember how fortunate we are to be able to worship the Lord and to give Him the glory and honor that He is worthy of. And prioritize it. If you really value being there for your child, you prioritize that moment, don't you? You make sure you don't miss that special event that was so very precious to them and to you. You protect it, you praise it, you prioritize it. That's a good 3-point sermon right there. But here's the problem. This is why we have to do this point. The heartbreaking reality is that the more familiar we are with something or someone, the less honor we show. That first date, oh man, that first date, you opened the car door for her, you took her to a restaurant you thought she would like, you said all kinds of praiseworthy and nice things to your date. 5 years, 10 years later in marriage, are you still opening the door quite as frequently? Or do you start to take your spouse for granted? Do you start to say, well, I can speak a little bit roughly and they're not going to leave. After all, we're kind of locked in here. You know, you start to put your buddies first instead of putting her first. And you say, well, that's okay. She just understands. The more familiar with something we are, the less honor we give it. We know it. We know it inside and out. And so it doesn't seem like one of those great paintings hanging in the halls of the Met. It just seems like that thing we walk past every single day. And how sad is it when the children God has entrusted us with become that thing we walk past every day? When the one person in this world who has pledged their life to stand beside you and help you get to heaven becomes that person we walk by every day. We cannot take for granted the people and the covenants that God has taught us to honor, no matter how familiar we become with Him. And just knowing this, just knowing that that's the way things function, it allows us to break the cycle. It allows us to come back and say, but wait a minute, I do value my family. I do value my time in the Word. I do value the people at church that help me grow and make me stronger. And so I can make a decision here, and this is the second point. Honor is going to be about what you decide, not what they deserve. Honor will first be determined by the value that you perceive, but secondly, it's going to be about what you decide, not what they deserve. Please come with me to Romans chapter 5, familiar text, Romans chapter 5 and verse 7. Romans chapter 5 and verse 7. One will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man someone would dare even to die, but God demonstrates His own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Would you agree with this statement? That Christ has shown us the ultimate honor, even when we were in sin, Even when we were in rebellion, he showed us the ultimate honor by being willing to leave heaven, come here, and die on the cross for me and for you. Not because we deserved it, but because he decided to value us and he decided to treat us in conjunction with the value that he placed. That's amazing to me. And it reminds me that if he can decide that, even when I didn't deserve it, then I can do the same thing. I was telling Dwayne earlier about a situation we had back in Kentucky where the elders were having a very difficult time communicating. One elder ended up resigning. It was a very sad and heartbreaking time. But leading up to that, as a congregation, we were having to make the choice to say, we will honor these men as elders. We didn't always understand what they were doing, and sometimes they would tell you today that they didn't get it all right. But you know what? I didn't honor them just because I always agreed with them. I didn't honor them because I always thought they deserved it. I honored them because they were worthy of honor in the position of service that they were filling. I decided to honor them. There are times that we're going to have to do that. There are times that as a spouse, we don't deserve our loving spouse's honor. And yet they bear with us. And they work through that. And they follow what God has taught about honor. Come with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6, please. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Think of how hard this must have been. Chapter 6 and verse 1. 1 Timothy 6 verse 1 says, all who are under the yoke as slaves are to regard their own masters as worthy of all honor. Now he hasn't even gotten to the idea of if your master is a Christian yet. He'll cover that later. But he just starts out in verse 6. All who are under the yoke as slaves are to regard their own masters as worthy of all honor. We just stop right there and we say, how could this even be, Paul? We know the heartbreak that slavery was in this country and the long-term ramifications that we still see today. How could any slave be asked to show honor here? Well, it's not based on what they deserve. It's based on what you decide. And I want to tell you, if a slave in the first century could decide to show honor to their master, what's our excuse going to be? How are we going to stand before God and say, oh no, it was just too hard to honor you or your word or your people or the family that you blessed me with? I think we would have zero excuses. In fact, I think our brothers and sisters from the first century would say, do you know what we were asked to do? They would regard them with all honor. Why? Verse 1. So that the name of God and our doctrine will not be spoken against. They were to be lights. And they were to behave in such a way that no one would criticize their faith in Jesus Christ. And that's what we need to be doing. We need to be making this decision that we will honor others based on who God is to us. Not who they are to us, but who God is to us. To realize that they are worthy of honor not because of their behavior, but simply because God has deemed that I am going to honor them. So I'm going to ask you today to take a little test. My kids have done homeschooling this year. We've had all these different tests going on at the dining room table. This is a different kind of test. There's a test for your honor. There will inevitably be a time you do not want to extend honor. You don't want to treat them as special and value them. But I want you to pass that test. When that circumstance arises, I want you to remember that everywhere God desires me to show honor, I'm going to show it. Not because that person is worthy, but because he is. And if he's asked it of me, then it is mine to perform. If he's asked of me to show honor, and we're going to end the lesson with about five different areas he's asked us to show honor. But before we even cover those areas, can you just decide, I'm going to pass that test. And so if I disagree with the decision, or I don't understand why this person's behaving this way, I can still extend honor. That familiarity that we have is not going to blind me to the value of others. and that the blessings that God has given to me are not going to be something I fail to appreciate or offer disrespect in response to, but I'm going to recognize the worth, the weight, and the value of everything God has asked me to assign that worth, weight, and value to. I think it's tricky, but that is a test we need to pass. And the great thing about it is that that doesn't just benefit the person that we are honoring or the institution that we're honoring. It benefits us. God is training us. God is molding and shaping our hearts to become better at being a people of honor, to give Him the honor that He is worthy of by giving us plenty of opportunities to practice. I can remember studying with Curtis Pope when I lived in Houston, Texas. He was one of the preachers I studied under. And we were going through Romans 13 about being in submission to the government. And he said, Philip, do you know that God tells us to be in submission here and submission here and submission here because we need the practice? It's hard to be in submission, especially when you disagree. Well, in all these areas that God asks us to show honor, we need the practice. So I'm going to have to decide to do that, not just based on the observations that I have, but on what God has asked me. So here's what's going to make that a little bit easier. Point number three. You can extend sincere honor, because God's not asking you to fake it. God's not asking you to be hypocritical. You can extend sincere honor when you appreciate what people can do, but you really love, not what they do. You really love who they are. Come with me back to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 3. Look at the way honor is given in this passage. There seems to be a comparison in chapter 3 between Moses and Jesus. Hebrews chapter 3, let's start reading in verse 1. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession. He was faithful to Him who appointed Him, as Moses also was in all of His house. For He has been counted worthy of much more glory than Moses. By just so much as the builder of the house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. When you think about this, I want you to see that they're being asked to consider this heart that places who over what. It's not just what house has been built. It's who built that house. We had a thoracic surgeon as part of the church back in Kentucky. No one ever sent him a thank you letter that said, that was the best scalpel ever, and that scalpel saved my life. No. They said, Dr. Tony, you're the best doctor I ever had. Dr. Tony, you saved my life. The point here in verse 3 and verse 4 is that there is more honor to be given to Christ even than was given to Moses. There's more honor to be given to God than to those that He calls to serve Him. When we remember who these people are, we can extend greater honor. That comes from the heart of love. If I can take you to Romans again. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 and verse 10 says to us, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Is that the kind of honor that we're showing to one another? That really, I've got a preference in my heart and in my mind to put you first. So think about your needs. Because love and honor are inseparable. In this verse, they're beautifully joined to one another. Right here in verse 10, there's brotherly love and a preference that is shown with honor. When we have this kind of attitude, then we don't say, oh, that same song leader, he didn't lead any of my favorite songs. I don't need somebody to lead my favorite songs. I need somebody to lead songs that glorify God. And if they pick songs that glorify God, it doesn't matter if it's my favorite or not, right? What I need to be thinking about is what is truly good for others and appreciating their service and the sacrifices that they make. And I should value who they are, not just what they do. And I tell you, you can't really do that without some humility. Because even if I perceive the value of what they're doing, I say, well, I couldn't actually lead singing as good as they can lead singing. I just wish they would do it with my song. No, no. Even if I perceive the value, if I know they are more talented than me, if I know that they have a greater gift than me, I still won't show honor unless I have some humility about myself. Unless I have enough humility to say, you know, the world doesn't revolve around me, or 15-year-old me looking at that assignment. You know, the world doesn't revolve around the grade on one little English paper. I needed to honor that man and the teaching that he provided in that school. Look at Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 33 with me. Chapter 15 and verse 33. The fear of the Lord is the instruction for wisdom, and before honor, humility. I think that's kind of a two-way street. Before I can show honor, it's going to require humility of me. I think we've laid that out. But it's also true that before I could ever hold a position of honor, I need some humility. And if I ever expect my wife to honor me as her husband, then I need to have some humility. And if she would like me to honor her, she needs to express humility. When we think about someone becoming a deacon or becoming an elder, I'm studying with a young man that was just baptized a few weeks ago, and he said, so what is the hierarchy? Are the elders at the top? And I said, you need to just flip that. The elders have committed themselves to serve more deeply and more sacrificially than everyone else. That humility allows them to exercise this godly authority. I need that heart of love, and I need that heart of humility to show real honor to other people. So what are our three things? Number one, you're going to honor what you value, right? This is going to have to be a decision. And God wants you to be sincere in this, so you need the humility and the love to say, I appreciate who this person really is. And then I think the fourth one will take us home. That is the idea that enduring honor will be displayed with attention to detail. Would you take your Bibles back to the book of Esther with me? Look at this passage in Esther chapter 6. I think we all know that honor is often displayed with the details. You go to a nice hotel and there's a mint on your pillow. And you think, well, I didn't really want one of those, but it was a nice thought. You know, it was a genuine touch. Maybe somebody is coming to sit down at a park bench where you're having a picnic, and before they sit down, you just stop real quick and dust off the park bench. Because you're just being thoughtful. And it's not anything you even have to say. It's just like this slight detail of consideration and kindness. Maybe you're not just holding the door for your spouse, but maybe you decide to hold the door for a stranger that's coming into a restaurant. And you know that means they're going to get their name in first, and they're going to get a table before you, but that's okay. You just extend that courtesy. Maybe it's the way that my dad insisted we say yes, sir, and yes, ma'am, not just huh, right? There's things that we can do with great detail that show honor. Look at Esther do this in Esther chapter 6, verse 3 through 11. The king said, what honor or dignity has been bestowed on Mordecai for this? And the king's servants who attended him said, nothing has been done for him. So the king said, who is in the court? And Haman had just entered the outer court of the king's palace in order to speak to the king about hanging Mordecai on the gallows that had been prepared for him. And the king's servant said to him, behold, Haman is standing in the court. And the king said, let him come in. So Haman came in, and the king said, what is to be done for the man whom the king desires to honor? And Haman said to himself, whom would the king desire honor more than me? So Haman said to the king, for the man whom the king desires to honor, let them bring, now notice the details, not just any robe, let them bring a royal robe. And not just any royal robe, but one that the king has worn. And the horse on which the king has ridden, on whose head a royal crown has been placed. Let the robe and the horse be handed over to one of the king's most noble princes. And let them array the man whom the king desired to honor. And lead him on horseback through the city square. And proclaim before him, thus it shall be done to the man whom the king desires to honor. Haman gets the details, right? Especially when he thinks it's all for himself. Esther does the same thing. Esther, when she is pleading for the lives of her people, says, come and have this banquet. In fact, come again and have another banquet, right? I mean, she just goes to great lengths to show her love and her compassion for her husband. We need to remember that the more attention we give to the details, the higher the honor we are displaying. You get this, guys, in that Christmas gift or that anniversary gift, the one you picked up from a gas station on the way home. That one wasn't quite as well received as the one you got from the mall, was it? You know, there's got to be some attention to detail here. And Haman sees that. But think of all the passages in the Bible where God's people descended into dishonor as they started neglecting the details. We see Nadab and Abihu, that they did not go and get fire from the altar as God commanded. They brought in a strange fire. It's not the same. It's a neglect of the detail. Think about Moses hitting the rock. He'd done it in the past. Why can't he do it again? After all, he's having a really hard day with this really obstinate people. Let's just hit the rock and be done with this. No. No, he's neglecting the details in his service to God. Think about Isaiah 58. Would you read this one with me? Isaiah chapter 58 and verse 13. As the people were losing sight of what really mattered. He says in Isaiah chapter 58, if because of the Sabbath you turn your foot from doing your own pleasures on my holy day, and you call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and you honor it, desisting from your own ways and from seeking your own pleasure and from speaking your own word, then you will take delight in the Lord. And I will make you ride on the heights of the earth, and I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. He says, honoring the Sabbath is not just about limiting your work. Honoring the Sabbath is about focusing on me. And having a day where I am more important and higher than your desires and your pleasures and your words. That's how they could actually honor God on the Sabbath. And we need to remember this lesson. We need to come back and elevate our lives and our relationships by remembering the details. And there's kind of a little trick that's going to help you with this. Especially the guys. Have you been in the market before for a new vehicle, and suddenly every red light you came to, you started noticing one? It's like you're looking for a red truck, and you just start seeing red trucks everywhere. You know, you weren't really thinking about it before, and sure, you probably passed them all the time. But now that you're shopping for one, they just stand out everywhere. When you're in the market for something, it's on your radar. So get in the market for honor. Put it on your radar. Start noticing those little ways that you forgot to say please. I've told my wife before, there was an implied please in that. You start to notice that you're leaving those things out. That there's a need for greater honor and greater kindness there. It's wonderful when we just put our mindset in that direction, that those details come right back to us. And those good examples of the Scripture, like the ones we've looked at tonight, they really cause us to move forward and show honor. So what are the five places that we should show honor? Let's look at those and we'll wind the lesson down. Number one, obviously with God. Would you come with me to 1 Timothy chapter 1? God should be valued. God is the one who we should imagine in our minds on the pedestal, the one that is lifted up and worthy of our highest attention. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 17. To the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Oh, we have to keep in mind His holiness. That He's not just a little holy. He's not just medium holy. He is holy, holy, holy. He is supremely holy. We see that honor expressed in the book of Revelation, don't we? In chapter 4, we get a scene where He is being honored. Chapter 4 and verse 11. Worthy are you, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and because of your will, they existed and were created. What we see in chapter 4, verse 11 is the opposite of the problem we started with in Romans chapter 1. When they knew that there was a God but did not honor Him as their Creator. That's corrected in Revelation chapter 4. There is honor for Him who created all things. A recognition that they all exist because of Him. Chapter 5 and verse 12. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. We need to be in the market for ways that we can show honor to God. Our timeliness, our devotion to His Word, our adherence to His commands, our speaking the good news to others about Him, all of these things honor our Father. We need to honor the covenant that we have in Jesus Christ. To know, as the Hebrews writer says, that we have a better covenant built on better promises. That this covenant relationship we have with Him is not something to take for granted or through familiarity by saying, oh, well, I've been a Christian for so many years. I know this routine. No, it's not a routine. It is a growing relationship with our God. We want to honor that covenant we've entered. We want to honor all people. I mean, there's so many verses about where we should extend honor to others. We think about these different groups honoring the elderly or those that are weak, the guest with hospitality or those who are wise. Come with me over to Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 41. Chapter 13, verse 41 says to us, got that wrong. There's not a verse 41. Let's try 1 Corinthians 12:23. My apologies. 1 Corinthians 12:23. On the contrary, it's true that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, and those members of the body which we deem less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor, and our less presentable members become much more presentable. Can I tell you two things? We have two very special members back at Embry Hills. They are both blind. One man that is blind comes up and does the scripture reading. And it's the funniest thing you've ever seen because he doesn't look down at a Bible. He just rubs his fingers across his Braille Bible and does the scripture reading. Somebody might look and say, are you sure? What can he contribute? He encourages hundreds of people every time he does the scripture reading. Another lady came, and I had used some illustration about M&Ms in a sermon. And I come back next Sunday, and there's this little bag of M&Ms on our pew. And I was told later that that was the equivalent of the widow's two mites. That by her choosing to spend money on M&Ms, she had made a real sacrifice, more than probably anyone had put in the collection plate that day. And I just thought, nobody else knows. I can't really tell that story there, but I can tell it here. It's the details. It's the little things. It's the members that you might overlook that are worthy of honor and that most beautifully display honor. We cannot be like the rest of the world that would take advantage of people in these kind of situations. How many scammers are just hoping to call someone and confuse them enough to trick them into giving them a credit card? How many people are looking at the weak or the orphan and saying, oh, we can take advantage of them. We can put them into sex slavery or some other kind of terrible thing that's happening in our world. How many people can say, oh, that guest, they're only here one time. We can just kind of ignore them for now. No, God has asked us to extend honor in many different ways to many different people. God's asked us especially to honor marriage. We think about Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 4, right? Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4, that he says marriage is to be held in honor. Marriage is to be held in honor among all. The marriage bed is to be undefiled. For fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. When our society is running in the opposite direction, trying to redefine marriage and dishonor marriage, God says, no, it belongs on a pedestal. It's something that I created. You know, if you opened a restaurant and you were using your family's handed down, timely, treasured recipes, and you intended to treat every person who came in as true family, and you kept that place spotless, but years went by and somebody else took over the restaurant and they changed all the recipes and they didn't treat people very good, and the restaurant got real dirty, the name on the front might be the same, but you'd say, that's not my restaurant. That's not what I envisioned. If we take marriage that is to be held in honor, and our society keeps trying to change it and change it and change it and change it and change it, God is going to look and say, that's not what I created. That's not what I designed. I designed an institution, a covenant that is honorable. If Christians are not going to be the light that honors marriage through our treatment of one another, through our commitment, through our forgiveness, through our patience, through our long-suffering, through a true 1 Corinthians 13 kind of love, where is the world ever going to see marriage honored? We have to do that. And we need to honor our authorities. We have them in so many different realms, whether it's the eldership, whether it's those that are not elders, but simply labor extremely hard. We see that kind of language used by Paul at the end of some of his epistles. Whether it's government, like Romans 13, our master-servant relationships in Titus and in Timothy, or even those academic situations we get in. Jesus rejected some titles, but accepted the title rabbi. It was okay to think of him as this great teacher, and he was honored and respected for the great teaching that he brought. We have areas where we need to show honor. And so I want to ask you, are you going to pass that honor test? In these areas that God has told us we are to be showing honor, are you going to bring that? Maybe tonight you know you've been dishonoring God. His grace is so beautiful and so abundant, but has become so familiar that you've taken advantage of that grace, maybe neglected that grace. You've heard about Jesus, and you've thought about Him dying on the cross, but you've heard that so many times that it becomes routine. I want you to get in the market for honor. I want you to look again with fresh eyes at His grace and at the cross. And if you need to repent of sin, we are here to help you with that. And if you've never become a Christian, then you can do the honorable thing of confessing your faith, that Jesus Christ is the Lord who died to take away our sins. He is the Son of God risen, that we could have new life. You could be buried with Him in baptism this very evening. If we can help you, then please come forward while we stand and sing.